Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, we're in the New Testament, in the book of John. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Verse 9, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Wow. Who is it that we are divinely connected with? The person of God in his Son, the Word. Who is it that he is so powerful that he can just speak? You see, at the conclusion of all of this, when you get through the end of Revelation and you find out that everything is settled by the Word. He speaks the Word and the battle's over. It's done. The Word slays all those that are in opposition. All the armies that have amassed themselves in the Valley of Megiddo, the Battle of Armageddon, it's settled by the Word that comes forth from the person of Jesus Christ. How powerful is your God and my God? How wonderful, how awesome. Go for a walk in the dark, in the woods. Get out there and just look at the stars. Man, this time of year, it starts getting really, really pretty. And it's just this huge canopy of stars. And you think, wow, he spoke all this into being. Every once in a while, I flick through and I hit the NASA channel, you know, and they don't have much going on there usually. So especially in the middle of the night, there's just not much happening at all. They've got the charts going where the space, you know, shuttle's connected to the, you know, station and it's floating around. You can watch that. It's kind of this weird circular looking thing. And then, but what's really cool is they'll do these pictures sometimes of the Earth from space. Isn't that a great shot? You guys have seen it, you know, just these pictures of the Earth from outer space. It's just kind of, it's such a beautiful planet, isn't it? Really, with the blues and the browns and the cloud covers that are there. And, you know, this is perfectly designed for you and I. It's got perfect amount of gravitational pull. It's perfectly designed. Just the right balance so that there's enough oxygen here on this earth for us to walk and live. I mean, we don't think much about it. We just kind of live here and just kind of have our lives here. But we don't really think about how awesome it was that this was just spoken into being. Just the word was delivered and it happened. My, what a powerful force our God is. The creative power of that divine logos. You know, the Greeks had this similar thing that they would use as and a similar word for it. And they would use it to describe that creative force that's in the universe and that force of wisdom throughout the universe. And they had a similar word that they would use to describe the same truth that we find written in God's Word, declaring the divine logos, the power that's there in the spoken word and the written word, the person of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. See, from the very beginning in Genesis 1:1, God was there. Jesus was there. This is that divine logos that spoke it all into being. What a powerful thought. Proverbs, let me see if this is the right one. I do not believe so. We may have to bypass the Proverbs one for a moment. But anyhow, in Proverbs we have this same thing, the wisdom as it's declared of God, and that same divine logos that was there from the very beginning. What a powerful truth for us to embrace and to know. In the beginning was the Word. That creative power, the Word, and all the wisdom that's contained therein. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No distinction. Again, that idea from the very beginning, as we get started, he was in the beginning with God. There was no separation. We know that when we read from the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We talk about it. We joke about it a little bit. It's no joke to me, but I say it in a funny way sometimes. But the reality is, if really, truly, if you can get over the hurdle of Genesis 1:1, you're home free of the rest of the Bible. You know, if you can believe that in the beginning, God, and it is Elohim, this is a plural form of the person of God. This is not singular. It's not just dual, but it is in a plural, three or more. So it's the three, the triune Godhead, found in from the very first verse of the Bible. And we find there, in the beginning, God, Elohim, that triune Godhead, created singularly the heavens and the earth. All are connected. All are one. And hard to grasp, hard to grab in this finite mind, the infinite God. But he was in the beginning with God. So, not only is he God, but he's there from the very beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. This is, again, John describing the person of the Son, Jesus, as the living Word. And that he was the one that spoke all of this into being as part of the Godhead. And that he is God. He was with God from the very beginning as God. And that all things that were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Colossians chapter 1, Paul makes the same statement, basically. Colossians chapter 1. And if you know, if you want to just jot these down, you can also grab the CD later if you want, or go on and download it. But you can get this information again and go back through it. But in verse 13, speaking of Jesus, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence, that he may have that rightful place of rule and reign above all. Wow, you know, a lot said in that. In verse 17 it says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. That word consist really means held together. He's the glue, basically. He's what keeps it all together. The Bible declares that as if his hands were holding everything together like this, and if he just let go, it would just implode. Think about that. Your heartbeat, your breathing, is not even entrusted to you. See, because if you'd fall asleep and forget about it. You'd forget to breathe. You'd forget to tell your heart to beat. But God hasn't even trusted that to you. How great is our God? This thought about this, and to just dwell on that and to think on that. How awesome, how wonderful is our God. Look at this. I mean, just in a few verses, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So conclusive just in that. And yet we wonder, and we question, and we doubt, and we ask all these silly things, trying to figure out, well, I don't really know, you know. I'm not really sure. And we start wondering and questioning God. We give ourselves such liberty to ask questions that we really ought not, but we ought to really just accept. You see, God is God, with or without me, and God is God, with or without you. God is still God, but you and I benefit greatly. Greatly. We get everlasting life. We get a life worth living, and yet we pout and whine and moan because everything's not just in our world. It's just not going exactly our way. Man, if it did, can you imagine what a disaster life would be? Can you imagine the collision courses? This is what happens in homes all the time.
The collision course of the wife's got the world going this way and the husband's got the world going this way, you know? Yet the balance is found in the Word of God. Some have a big smile. Some are not so smiley on that topic. I know we've all spent a lot of time around each other. Everybody's ready to get back to work tomorrow. But you know, the idea, this concept, this reality is so important for us to embrace that, man, I accept that God is God and that I am not. Man, you get over that hurdle, everything goes pretty good in life. When you just accept that God knows best for you and that he has a divine, wonderful plan for you and that, you know what? He can speak things into being for your life too and for mine. God can deal with our problems if we will allow him to have them. And you know what? Sometimes dealing with them is carrying you and me through those difficulties and those issues. Letting us work through them often can be really what God's desire is to do in a situation. Man, what a great, wonderful, powerful God we have. In him, in verse 4, was life. This eternal life. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. So, the light shines in the darkness, but there's not the recognition. So Jesus comes to this earth, and there's not the recognition that he's who he is. Even though he shines brightly, even though those questions come to him, what must I, they can see he's got age-abiding life, this divine, wonderful quality about him, and they're drawn to him, and they ask the questions, what must I do to have age-abiding life? And Jesus tells him, hey, listen, you've got to separate yourself from those things that are in the way between you and me. Isn't that what God does with us? He says, hey, you got to get these things out of the way so that we can have this direct relationship that I want to have with you. But we allow our minds to get cluttered with so many things. We allow our lives to get cluttered with so many things. But man, he is life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Oh, what a great thought. He is life. There was a man sent from God. Now he jumps into this idea about John the Baptist and starts to talk about him for a moment. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. So John came, John the Baptist came as a forerunner. And his purpose was to witness and testify of the light that's coming, that Jesus is the light, that people might believe in Jesus. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Or that was the true light which coming into the world gives light to every man. And so, as we read through and we think, wow, we're really called to be a witness. You and I are called to be a witness. You see, in Acts chapter 1, it starts off that this is the purpose of the sending of the Holy Spirit, that we might be empowered to be witnesses and to testify of who Jesus is in our lives. It's not the throw the Spirit around the room type stuff. It's really to be, let the Spirit come upon us, that the Holy Spirit might flow through us and empower us to testify of who Jesus really is. And this is important for us, that we can testify. You know, we're called to be a witness, to share who he is and what he's done for us. Each and even today, to share what God's done for you today. What God's wanting to do for you tomorrow, what God's done for you in the past, what he's doing in your life, this active, and this is so great. This is what's great about spending time with the Lord each and every day in your devotional time. You start realizing God's doing things every day, not reading for intellect's sake, but reading to be spiritually fed. You know, my older brother has been a great example to me in many ways, and one of them in particular has always stood out to me. And he has always had a powerful devotional life and a powerful prayer time life. I mean, he is really just had a great, he's been a great example to me in this. And Even this last few days when he was stopped by the house and was with us, you know, we were visiting, we had breakfast together and stuff, and things are starting to get readied and stuff. And he says, "You'll have to excuse me for a few moments." You know, we'd already eaten breakfast and stuff. He says, "I've got some other food I've got to go get." And he went and just spent time alone with the Lord, and just for a few minutes, not a long time, just a little bit of time, just to get, it's a great thing. You know, and he wasn't doing it. It wasn't, he was just saying, "Hey, listen, excuse me for a few minutes." And he knew we would know what he was, what he meant by all that. But the idea is that there's other nutrition that we need to take into our being. That spiritual food, the Word of God, that changes and helps us. And it's not just this idea that I might gain intellectual understanding, but that I might know him, that I might know the power of his resurrection, as Paul said, the suffering that was involved with the cross, that I might identify with Jesus Christ, that I might witness, that I might be able to testify of who he is. So we're really not called to be attorneys, as it were, or to be lawyers, as it were, to defend, argue, or debate necessarily, but we've been called. And I understand there's a place and a time for discussion. I understand that. And I get it, but I really do believe that our main purpose, our main calling, is to be a witness. We just read what John's witness was like, and that he was to testify that he was not the light, but that Jesus is the light. You and I aren't to point people to ourselves. We're to point people, okay, praise the Lord, if you got a victory in an area in your life and you want to share it with people, I will rejoice with you. I think that's awesome that God's giving you a victory somewhere. Praise the Lord. I'll high five with you spiritually. I think it's awesome, really. But the greatest thing is that in that victory, that then you go on to testify that it was God who brought that victory in your life via the power of the Holy Spirit, whatever the circumstances were, how God worked that out for you. Now you're testifying not of just something for yourself, which can kind of eliminate others, but when you testify of it of God, other people can see, oh, so that could happen maybe for me too. Now you're giving hope to others that they could too also experience that wonderful glory and victory that you've had. So it kind of gets us out of the equation and puts Jesus into the equation. And this is what I see John doing in verses 6 through 9. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. Again, that declaration which we just spoke about. And again, the good emphasis or good scripture for that is Colossians 1, 13 through 18 that we read. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. So it's kind of a, well, what are we talking about here? He came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. So he was there, but they didn't recognize him. Or what's going on? Well, one, this word in verse 11, this first portion that says, and he came to his own. Put your comma in there if it's not. Make sure you got a little pause there. Because he came to his own. That word own is speaking of creation itself. Well, we talked about the divine creation. All of the world, as it were, that's what he was talking about, the creation itself. He came to his own, the creation itself. And then, and his own, that word own, in this second after the comma, and his own did not receive him. This own is in more of a masculine tense, and so it's speaking of humanity. And that his own, humanity didn't recognize him. His own people is basically what it's speaking of, or the emphasis is on that. So the first was creation itself. And then, and you'll notice some of your margin notes may even say this, his own things or domain, which creation itself, and then his own people. You know, you and I, all of us are designed to worship. All of us were designed to worship. And we will worship something. All of humanity worships something. Even if it's just themselves or their ideas. Think of what the atheists and the, you know, we don't worship anything. We don't believe in anything, you know. But they worship their own intellect and their own ideas about what they don't worship. You know, it's just kind of funny, really. It's kind of like anarchy, you know, the anarchists. Well, they all agree that there should be no rules. But the first rule is there's no rules. And then as far as leadership goes, well, the first rule is that we have no leaders. So, well, is that anarchy then?
I thought there were no rules. But I thought we all agreed that there was no rules and it doesn't make any sense. It's a circular thing that doesn't make any sense. The idea is that we all are going to bow down and worship something. And it's so important what it is that we worship. God's designed us to desire to worship, but where we focus our worship is very important, where you and I point our direction. His own did not receive him. We will not have this man rule over us, they said, just prior to the crucifixion that we just read and studied in Luke's gospel. We will not have this man rule over us. And the rejection. And so many today, that is their statement. We will not have this man to rule over us, speaking of the person of Jesus Christ. And yet he is the divine Logos. He spoke the world into being. And on top of everything else, he loves you and he loves me passionately, so much so that he was willing to give his own life, that he might have relationship with you. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You are that joy. You are the pearl of great price. You are the treasure in the field that he then went, sold all that he had, and bought the field. You're the treasure in the field. The world, the whole earth, has been redeemed by the person of Jesus Christ. And he did that because he wants to have fellowship with you and with me. He wants you and I to grow and experience all that he has for us. And his own did not receive him. And then, oh, the butts of the Bible. What a great thing, you know? Right there in verse 12, I love it. Man, I circle them, you know, I make colored marks by them. The butts of the Bible are great. Just the B-U-T. And it's just excellent as it fits right in there. It's this transitional statement. But as many as receive him, he said, man, now all of a sudden, you'll find a lot of times the butts are what give you the hope. The but God. Man, we forget sometimes, but God. There's all these things happening in our lives sometimes. And there's the but God. Don't ever forget that transitional statement that takes it out of just the human situation and the discouragement and the despair that can set in, because there is God waiting to help you and me.
Thank you so much for listening today. This is Pastor Jim, and I'm really blessed that you've tuned in, and I hope that God's really doing a fresh new work in your life. And oftentimes, when we hear messages like today's message, the Lord starts to tug on our hearts, and he wants to hear from us. He wants our response, and that's just a prayer, a simple prayer of faith. And maybe you just need to get right with God. Maybe you need to repent and turn your life back over to the Lord. Maybe you just need to give your life to Jesus, and you've never done that before. This is your time. This is your opportunity. God's word goes out, and he's making himself known, and he wants you to live and have everlasting life. Incline your ear and come to him. And so Jesus is calling out to you, and it's your opportunity to respond and call back to him and just open that door in your heart. It's a simple response in prayer. It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. If you just pray this simple prayer of faith, God will come into your life and make your heart his home. Jesus, I ask that you would do just that. Make my heart your home, that you would come in and forgive me of my sin. I want to ask you to be my personal Lord and Savior. I know this isn't about religion. It's about a relationship, and I want to start that relationship. You're calling out to me. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I'm in need of spiritual help, and so I'm calling out to you, God, asking that you would help me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making yourself known to me. And Lord, I just want to receive that gift of everlasting life. I want to thank you for it right now. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. If you'd like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes Store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. The service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus, God.